going home, guys.
Wow, guys, I just love that song. You know, it really does remind me of the sweet songs of the 60s. But it's such a love song. It's such a love song to the Lord. And, you know, my heart just melts when I'm listening to Andre sing it. I mean, what a gift he has. You know, we have such gifted, you know, R.C. Sears. The Lord really has put a nice group of lovers of Jesus together, lovers of his coming together. So I just want to welcome everybody. I think there was some problems with the show. I didn't even notice when I came to sign in. Yeah, it said sign in tomorrow's show, and I just automatically did. I'm just so used to in late night chat, you sign in for tomorrow's show so you can get on the chat screen. And I just automatically did, but I came on, and anyway, we fixed it. It's good. I think everybody's in chat, and I want to welcome. There's just a few of us in chat right now. We've got Ben, Deborah, Rojo, Judy. We have a guest. Thank you, guest, for being here. And then, of course, our callers. I'm going to put everybody on in a moment. But, you know, the Holy Spirit put it in my heart earlier today to read and bless our Heavenly Father with Psalm 34. So I'm going to start the show with blessing him with Psalm 34. And if everyone wants to join in, just I Google Bible Gateway, and I'm using the NASB version, but you guys can use whatever. I'm just letting you know what I'm going to read from. So I'm going to read Psalm 34 to the glory and praise of our Creator, because he loves us so much, and he loves us so much that he is coming for us. Okay? So here goes. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul will make its boast in the Lord. The humble will hear it and rejoice. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. Yes, Lord, we exalt your name together. Your name is holy and it's awesome. Your name is Jesus, Yeshua HaMashiach, you know. Baruch Hashem, HaMashiach Yahshua, Baruch Hashem, Adonai. Blessed is the name of our Messiah, Jesus. Blessed is the name of the Lord. So I sought the Lord, and he answered me and delivered me from all my fears. They looked to him and were radiant, and their faces will never be ashamed. That's us. Our faces are never going to be ashamed, because we're looking to him and we're glowing and shining and being radiant. The poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him and rescues them. And he's coming to rescue us, guys. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. How blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. Oh, fear the Lord, you his saints. For to those who fear him, there is no want, no lack. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger. But they who seek the Lord shall not be in want of any good thing. Come, you children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Who is the man who desires life Who is the man who desires life and loves length of days that he may see good? Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are toward the righteous, and his ears are open to their cry. The face of the Lord is against evildoers, to cut off their memory of them from the earth. The righteous cry, and the Lord hears, and delivers them out of all their troubles. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted, and saves those who are crushed. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of all of them. He keeps all his bones. Not one of them is broken. Evil shall slay the wicked, and those who hate the righteous will be condemned. The Lord redeems the soul of his servants, and none of those who take refuge in him will be condemned. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. So, is everybody excited? Because we are getting ready to poof! Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. And I'm going to bring on everybody online. I do want to share something real quick with everybody. I'm not going to go into it too much, but I will tell you one thing, guys. I'll tell you what the Lord is showing me. He just keeps giving me messages on the moon. He's specifically speaking to me, but I'm just letting you all know, pay attention to the moon. Pay attention to the scriptures on the moon. Pay attention to the blood moon, to the new moon. Anything that has to do with the moon, ask the Holy Spirit to reveal what he wants you to know about the moon. If it's in your heart, because he just keeps pointing me to the moon. So there's something going on in the spirit realm, in a week and a half will be if we're here, but I don't think we will be Rosh Hashanah. The Feast of Trumpets, and it falls on a new moon. And the new moon is hidden in the dark. Okay, it's hidden. And the they have to have two witnesses in Jerusalem for them to see the sliver of the new moon. And that's when that is when Rosh Hashanah, the Feast of Trumpets, officially begins. So we're all like in that mode of, we know we're about to be poofed. And so, Judy, I think you hung up, but I hope you called back. So anyways, we've got our callers on the phone, and I want to welcome everybody, 413-818-973 and 713. So, take it away, guys.
Oh, hi. Hi,
hey.
To everybody. How are you, honey?
Well, I'm very excited with everything the Lord
good.
Is showing me.
Oh yeah.
So
anything special about the moons? That do you want to tell us that he showed you any specific message that we should be looking for?
Well, he showed me. He has me looking and really not on purpose. It's not like what is really neat is I'm not constantly asking him, okay, to reveal
mm-hmm.
something to me. All
mm-hmm.
I'm doing is like everybody else, come Lord Jesus, and the sooner
mm-hmm.
the better. Okay, so that's all I want, and I believe it's today
uh-huh.
And that. So he gave me he had me look at Matthew 24, verse 9 again. And I'll
yeah.
share it with you all, and I'll tell you what he gave me, all right? And you all can take it for what it's worth. It's my revelation, and I hope it blesses you because it blessed me, and I got all pumped up. All right? So here's what it says. Immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light, and the stars will fall from the sky, and the powers of the heaven will be shaken. Okay? Now, he wanted me to pay attention to the phrase, the moon will not give its light. Okay. Now, the Feast of Trumpets, which is Rosh Hashanah, which will begin around the 24th, 25th of September, all right, begins when the moon does not give its light because it's a new moon. That's what I just shared with you. A new moon is blackened, okay, it's darkened. It's blackened out until that sliver appears. And so in Jerusalem or in Israel, two witnesses have to see the sliver for the Feast of Trumpets to begin. And as I said, the Feast of Trumpets begins around the 24th of this month. And so if the witnesses, if it's raining in Israel or if it's overcast, and they cannot, on the 24th, let's say they're scheduled Rosh Hashanah or to begin on the 24th because that's when the new moon is supposed to appear. But, if it's raining and it's overcast for a couple of days, Rosh Hashanah, the Feast of Trumpets, cannot begin. It cannot begin until they actually see the moon, whether it's a sliver or more than a whatever. Okay, so... we've been talking about how the translation happens before the rapture, and many believers, many end time watchers have been looking and are continuing to look for the Feast of Trumpets to be the rapture. So I really think that between now and the Feast of Trumpets, we're going to walk like Enoch and not be because God took us. And that's what the Holy Spirit is. He just keeps giving me, remember, he gave me the stop sign with the blood moon. Really, guys, I kid you not, I'm not thinking about the moons. I'm not thinking about the blood moons. I'm walking with God like Enoch was, and he is the one who's revealing things to me, and he's revealing things to us all. I'm a garage kid, but I'm not a garage kid, by force. I'm a garage kid because he shows me something, and then then I'm like, oh, let me go search. See? So that's what I wanted to do. I wanted to, to share, and if somebody has something to add, by all means, share. So take it away.
Thank you. Thank you.
So that's what he, he's revealing to me that there's something very special about the moon, and. Now I will say it again. The blood moons, the only reason the blood moons are like so important to the body of Christ right now, if you will, it's only because everything that could have happened to Israel except the nations coming together to attack it in Psalm, like they're going to be in Psalm 83, the Ezekiel War, World War III, whatever, okay. The book of the scriptures, especially in Revelation, okay, says that once we leave, everything is now, the Lord is now totally focused on Israel. Well, Israel already became a nation in 1948, and that was when they had a tetrad of four blood moons. And in 1967, Israel became Jerusalem became the capital of Israel. And there was another set of four blood moons. And this year, between now and 2015, will be another set of four blood moons. And after this year, after next year, I should say, after 2015, there will no longer be, according to NASA, there will no longer be a set of four blood moons until 500 years or so from now. So every time there's been a set of four blood moons that fall on Passover and Tabernacles, Passover and Tabernacles, something huge has happened to Israel. Well, we know we're living in the very, very, very last seconds. So if these four blood moons indicate that Israel is in super-duper deep doo-doo, deep trouble, that only means we, the body of Christ, the bride of Christ, has to be translated, raptured, taken out of the way so that God can deal with Israel. That's why those blood moons mean something to me and should mean something to all of us. Has
Hi,
nothing,
girl.
The blood moons, right? Thank you, Keith, because the blood moons don't have anything to do with us. It all has to do with Israel.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And even
but
the red blood moons, if you look at, you know, the first one, which already passed, is Israel. But the first one was okay because Israel went to war with the Palestinians, and now they're going to vote on a peace treaty deal by the UN on Rosh Hashanah, Feast of Trumpets. So that's pretty profound because the Bible says that many, the covenant will be with many. Well, many is the United Nations signing that peace deal. So the first one is about a war and a peace deal. We get raptured. And then the other ones will be about Damascus will probably be the next one, and then Psalm 83, and then Gog Magog war for that. So looks pretty in line so far with where everything's going.
Very, very much so. So this is, see how, I mean, Keith, I just have to tell you, I got goosebumps when you were talking right now. So to me, that's just another sign that the Lord is really pleased that we are paying attention to this very time frame we're living in right this second. So you know I think that's why the Holy Spirit had me read. He put it on my heart this morning. To read Psalm 34, and I was, I've been blessing the Lord with my soul throughout the day, and I said, you know, I'm going to share it with you guys, and it's, you know, look at how many of us have been going through struggles and trials and tribulations and hardships, and it's all a distraction. All of that is just a distraction because the devil, Satan, and his minions don't want us to focus. Don't want us to believe that Jesus is right at the door to come for us. He doesn't want us to look at him. You know, he wants us to worry, and how are we going to pay our bills, and how are we going to do this, and how are we going to do that, and you know, what if he doesn't come? You know, and you know, we've been waiting and waiting, we're tired, we're weary, blah, 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 blah. You know, so it's all just a distraction. So we focus on him, and we bless him, and praise him and worship him, and we look forward to him coming because he is coming. And this is why I think, you know, he just keeps giving me these like little pieces of revelation because he doesn't want me to get discouraged. He doesn't want any of us to get discouraged. He is coming, guys. He is. Don't think that. And you know, it's, we're so, so very close, and this is when, look how many people have just been, you know, worn down. You know, they're just, so many people are just tired and you know, we've been, you know, how long have we been saying this, that it's today, that, you know, it's now, you know, that, you know, it's this year, that it's, and that's the devil's tactic to get us, to take our eyes off, you know, our King, to take our eyes off of the very fact that he is coming for us. No, don't take your eyes off of him. keep looking to him, but make him numero uno. Don't make his coming or the rapture numero uno. Make him numero uno, and his coming is attached to him. So we will. That's why we're like Enoch, walking with him, and he was not. Okay. I don't know. I have not yet read all of the book of Enoch, but I suspect very strongly that Enoch was walking with God, fellowshipping with him, and not bugging him. When are we leaving? When are we leaving? We're going to leave, right? You keep saying we're going to go, but we, you know, I don't think he bugged him. I think he just loved being in his presence. He was engrossed in his presence, and then he just was not. And, you know, and while we ought to rejoice and talk about him and his coming. Nothing wrong with that, but let's make sure we're excited that we're going with him. We are walking with him. And I know we are. I mean, I know that the RCC is. I'm just throwing it out because somebody had to hear it. That's how I look at it. Somebody out there had to hear this, and so I just had to let somebody know. So anyway, let's see. Who else? Keith, do you have anything else to add? Or Tana? Hi, Tana. You're there, right?
Hey, I'm here.
How are you today?
Thank you.
Hi, honey.
Hi. This is Debbie.
Debbie.
Hi.
How you doing, honey?
I'm very well, thank you.
Good.
Hold on.
I just wanted to...
Keep talking, guys, because I'm getting a text here.
Okay.
Let me see.
Okay, I just wanted to kind of share with you guys. Today I was with my girlfriend, and we went to the movie, and we saw the movie The Remaining. And that was really kind of a cool show. I really, you know, actually kind of enjoyed it. And I really enjoyed whenever they were, you know, talking about that all this is in the Bible. And if you're young like me, you're about 55. If you're young like my girlfriend, you're about 65. And her and I just get together, and she's the only girlfriend that I have that can talk the way that I like to talk, we talk here. And so her and I are riding down the road, and I'm sharing with her some things that we've learned here in church and giving her some examples and some dates and some flirts and all this, and we are giggling. And in the past, she was with me at one of these church services, and so she knows what it's like. And when we were doing that, she felt the presence of Jesus in the room. And so we're in the car today, and I said, well, you know, he's in the back seat. You know, he's right there. He's in the back seat. Lo and behold, I looked in her direction, and he was there. He had his head sticking between us, between the seats, and his arms were around each of us, and I'm driving, and I reached up and rubbed his beard. I said, he's right here.
Sweet.
And I reached up and touched his face. And I said,
my
Kathy,
goodness.
I'm not even joking. And she goes, I know you're not.
Oh, that's so sweet.
So, you know, he's there when we see him, and he's there when we don't. And when you call him out, he shows himself.
Oh, wow. He knows better than to do that with me because I'll handcuff him and he won't be able to go back to heaven.
I still have to drive.
I know, right?
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. I still have to drive. But he was looking at each of us and smiling at us. It's like,
That's
he was
sweet.
Just like right there. It was very, very cool. And, you know, it says where two or more are gathered in his name. Well, let me tell you, Jesus will show up if two or more are just talking about him.
Yes.
So we're always talking
great?
About
it.
So that was
so
just
wonderful.
Like a really, really
for
cool,
you.
Awesome thing. I've just had a grin on my face all day after that.
Oh, well, yeah. That's great.
That's awesome.
Oh, that's great. Oh, wow. So what's he look like, honey?
Oh, he's really, really handsome, and his beard's really soft, and he has a gorgeous
smile.
Yes,
the beard is soft, yes.
And he has large arms. I mean, his arms were like, I mean, he was hugging the whole inside of the car, you know, across the whole front seat. So, yeah, it was just like that.
Oh, how sweet. He's a sweetheart. He is.
Yeah.
He's a love. Yeah. And he becomes one of us. It's just absolutely throws me. It's like I just never want to let go of him. You know, like, you okay? You want a cup of tea? You want something to eat? Let's take a walk. What do you want to do now? What's your father want to do on the earth? That's how I talk to him. That's crazy.
Yeah, that is
like,
awesome.
What do you want to do next? Like, do you need anything? Oh, boy. He's going to have tape when he sees me over right over the mouth. Shut up, girl.
Well, I really think he's just right at the door. And
oh, yes, honey.
Every day I get up, I'm shocked. I'm shocked.
Yeah.
That I'm waking up. But then
Thank
I wake
you.
Up talking
to you.
You
need to hear
him.
That. Hello? Yes, exactly. Exactly.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I have
You
know, I have another revelation that I want to share with you all. I had reservations whether to share it, but hey, why not? You know, why not, right?
Hey, okay. Go for it.
So here goes. And, you know, take it for what it's worth. All right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm just telling you, when the Lord, when the Holy Spirit shows me something, it's him showing me. You know, there is scriptures or and teachings, you know, and profound teachings that warn people. Don't try to fit the Word of God into your own way of thinking. So in other words, don't think of something and then try to make the scriptures fit to your way of thinking.
Right. Yes.
Okay? People do that. And I've done it, especially when I was younger in the Lord, much younger in the Lord. You know, I would want something, and then I would find something in the scriptures and, oh, there it is. Yes. See, God is confirming it. No, he's not confirming anything. You know, I wanted to say that because I really want to emphasize that it is him showing me things and not me begging and pleading with him to tell me something.
Mm-hmm.
All right?
Mm-hmm.
So I was hearing a message, and I was also reading, thinking of the scriptures where the Lord says, where Jesus told his disciples, in my house there are many mansions. In my father's house there are many mansions, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you know how we've been all excited about our mansions and we've been just having a grand old time describing what our mansions are going to be like and what we're going to do and yaddy, 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 and yaddy, yaddy, yaddy. Okay. Well, this is what the Holy Spirit revealed to me. Okay? And it might be mind-blowing, but I'm telling you, he revealed it to me. I'm revealing it to you, and you take it for what it's worth. My father's house means his house is heaven. And heaven is huge, beyond our imagination.
Oh, yeah.
Okay? His mansions are planets. It's not just like a house.
Mm-hmm.
See, he tells us in Revelation 1:6 and Revelation 5:10 that we are kings and priests.
Mm-hmm.
And I've always, you know, and I've been speaking that because, you know what, that pumps me up. You know, my life has been, you know, I've been beaten up so much in my life.
Oh,
and
welcome
so when
to
I
the
read
club.
That, yeah, you got it, right? So
yeah,
when
amen.
I read, when I grabbed hold of those scriptures, and I got hold of the other scripture in it's in Corinthians, where Paul shares to the saints, hey, we have the mind of Christ. Wow, you know, when I graduated from high school, but let's just say, hey, thank God I graduated from high school. Now, you know, you listen to me and you think, I know that, you know, people, to God be the glory, when they speak to me, you know, and I'm talking about here when I meet people, they find me educated. They consider me educated. They consider me smart and
you
know, whatever. And it's all to the glory of God. Okay,
yeah,
he's the one who's done this in me, right?
Mm-hmm.
So anyways, those are the reason I'm sharing this with you is because those scriptures, we have the mind of Christ, has made me, you know, very conscientious. Lord, I have your mind. Praise the Lord. That means I am a genius. I've got his mind, and he's a genius. So I ain't no loser. I'm not a loser, okay, because I have his mind. And that's my attitude. And, you know, he says, I'm a king. I'm a king. Lord, thank you. You made me a king. He made us all kings. That's his word. He said it. I didn't. He said it. So we are kings and priests. So then when I'm reading that, he says, in my father's house, there are many mansions. And I thought of heaven. And I thought the Father's house is all of heaven, and all of a sudden, mansion. When I saw the word mansion, planets came to me, and the reason that came to me is because, see, in Genesis 1:2, and I'm gonna do a little Bible thumping here, but you know, hey, it's great. Genesis 1:2 says, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the earth. Well, when I know it's the gap theory and blah blah blah, okay. But when I've done my own personal historic research, I've realized that what happened was before God created Adam and Eve, before he created man, he had the angels. And he had all the planets and the stars, and he had, you know, the earth. And when Satan, as Lucifer, said, you know, in my opinion, I think he heard God say, I'm going to create man in my image and in my likeness. And, you know, they're going to have dominion. And see, the angels and all of creation are not created in the image and likeness of God. We are blessed and highly favored to be created in his image and in his likeness. So I think Lucifer got jealous and angry. And so when he says in Isaiah, I will ascend, that means he was going up. Well, where was he going up from? He was probably here on the earth. And so when you think about, when you look back and we hear the historians talk about the cavemen and the Neanderthals and, you know, the dinosaurs, and most of them were as ugly as all get out. Well, how did they get that way? So in my opinion, what happened was when Lucifer and the angels got kicked out of heaven, and they landed on the earth and polluted it. And so there was already light here on this earth. There were they distorted, you know, the whatever life forms there were. You know, they distorted it completely, and that's why God flooded the world again, and you have the ice age and all that, and then in Genesis 1:1 he says, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, and the earth in verse 2, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the earth. Well, God doesn't create anything ugly. So why was the earth ugly? Because Satan had polluted it. And so that just led me to, you know, thinking about, wow, you know, there's got to be more, you know, there's got to be more than just life. See, the Bible is for us right now. It's all about Jesus and about salvation. It's about coming to him, okay?
we have to be, he has to sanctify us and purify us because we've been tainted with sin. So this Bible that we use to get to know our Creator with, to know our Father through His Word and His Holy Spirit, because without His Holy Spirit, if we read the Bible without His Holy Spirit, the Word means nothing. It's dead, it's boring, it's lifeless, and that's why the majority of the world doesn't want the Lord, because religion has deadened the Word of God. And so when all these preachers and pulpit people get up there and they read, you know, they put people to sleep, especially, well, you know, Pat, I know you're Catholic and you love your Mass, and
yeah.
God bless you, okay? But I know that you really pay attention to the Word of God. And,
of course.
You know, I've been to many a Mass, you know, when I've had to go to a Mass, because I have a lot of friends and neighbors who still are Catholics, and they invite me to their Mass every now and then for a reason. You know, I had to pay attention, see, because I know the Word of God. So, but the majority of people, I'm looking at them, and they're like looking at their watches. Oh, when is this going to end? And they can't wait for it to end, because it means, you know, it means nothing. And it's not just,
it's
I'm not picking on the Catholic Church.
I understand you. It's sad. It's very sad.
Yes, it is.
I see it too,
okay.
Honey.
So that's the devil's way of getting us not to believe in God and not to believe in His Word. So it has to be, when we read the Word, we have to ask the Holy Spirit, you open the eyes of my understanding. You, you know, fill my spirit with your spirit when I read your Word. Okay, because that's when we're inspired by the Holy Spirit and reading God's Word, wow, it's like, I get it, wow, Lord. You know, we get excited.
Yeah.
I get excited for sure. So... As I'm digging, because I'm a digger, I'm digging. You know, I came to that realization. I said, "Wow, Lord, see, His Word is for right now for our salvation, so we can be purified and sanctified. But once we are living in eternity, life is very different. We don't have to be." You know, repenting, and we're not going to be repenting. We're not going to be, you know, sinning. There's not going to be death. There's not going to be suffering. There's not going to be any jealousy. There's not going to be division. There's not going to be any of that. Okay?
Right.
So He's going to show us a whole new life, a new way of life, but He's not revealing anything of the future other than little glimpses of, hey, you have eternal life, and you're going to be a king and priest. Well, wow, okay. I'm going to be a king and priest. And wow, you're blessing me with your mind. Wow, Lord, that's awesome. Okay. Because He's preparing us for something much greater than we can imagine. And He's just giving us little glimpses right now. And so that's why, you know, I mean, how many times we've been talking about having mansions for months and months, and we're next to our neighbors, and my house is going to have this, my house is going to have that. And suddenly the Holy Spirit just gave me that insight. It's not just a house, it's a planet.
Yeah.
And I don't know what, you know, that, and obviously the planet is not going to be lifeless. It's not going to be,
no, of course not.
You know, and we're not going to be alone in that planet. It's not like, well, here's your planet, and you live by yourself there. You know, it's not like that. So anyways, I just wanted
to
share.
It's exciting to contemplate. Yeah.
Yeah, and I just wanted to share what, you know, what he has been showing me. So I hope you all appreciated, you know, what I just shared. And if anybody wants to add to what I shared.
I just had something to read from something that was sent to me. Alana sent me a really beautiful thing called His Still Small Voice. It's this lovely lady who gets these messages, and I thought this was good. It kind of goes for what's going on today. It's It's a little stronger, but it's anybody listening out there, they can hear what the Lord say. So if it's okay, if it's all right with everybody, I can just I just need a couple of minutes. It's I just thought it was very good, and thank you, Alana, for sending this. And this was, she posted this September 15th, but this is 14th, but this is interesting. I'm going to read this. You'll see what she's referring to here. She says, "Brothers and sisters, I revisited a word that was written in my notes from September 15, 2012. I looked to see if it was posted, and I realized I had not. So I'm sharing this word from 2012 to date. Now, Jesus is saying, listen and remain alert, for there will be great shakings. The very foundations of some will be ripped out from under them. Men's work shall burn up in this hour. Wood, hay, stubble destroyed in the fires, the fire of my coming. Be mindful of others, for many will need love and support. Many will be broken by the realities that will be revealed in this hour. But I come to judge and pass sentence upon those who say they bear my name. The sinner doesn't profess to know me, so they are judged by a different standard. But those who say they bear my name are measured by my word, which doesn't alter or change what we were talking about. There will be rumblings and disruptions among the churches of men. My festivals bring and carry revelation of who I am in each season as it speaks to my redemptive character. Yes, all that I do is with regard to who I am, the Lord God Jehovah, the great I am. No longer will I be reduced to man's interpretation. To some I will be revealed and highly revered. To others I will be a destructive force, because for I am a consuming fire who looks to receive a pleasing sacrifice. No more of this stench that is offered up to me. It smells like dead flesh burning before me. It is a stench unto my nostrils, and I reject it. Daughter, write this down. It is a witness to what I am about to speak, what I am about to do. My vessels of honor are prepared, as well as my vessels of wrath. The Bible says that I judge the just and the unjust. Hear the word of your Lord today. The just shall live by faith, and faith is pleasing to me. I shall be great to those who have laid before me and allowed my purging fires to cleanse and sanctify them unto me. But for those who refuse my correction, my leading, great suffering will come upon them suddenly and in great measure. There is a price to pay for disobedience, defiance, and rebellion to a holy God. I will no longer allow my name to be defamed and despised. Many mock me, but that will be no longer, for I show and prove myself mighty in this hour. I know that you don't really know how to process all this. Just know that I share these things to make you aware so that you will be prepared for what is to come." This is 2012. "How soon, you ask? Now, daughter, now. I said that it has already begun. The signs, the evidence shall soon emerge. That which is hidden shall be exposed. My light will shine upon that which has been obscured, bringing all to light. That which is already light will shine brighter. That which is darkness has the opportunity to receive the light. There is no more time to waste. The separation begins. The wheat from the tares threshed. There is much to do, and much will be accomplished now." So that was the message, and that's in 2012, and we are in 2014.
It's for today. It's really for right now.
Oh, yes. Does that, yeah. I was going to say, doesn't that sound like right today? She could have written this yesterday.
Exactly.
Wow. Thank you, Alana. Exactly. Yeah, this is very powerful. Very powerful message.
Yeah.
Hey,
Julie,
so I just wanted to share that.
Yeah, I'm here. Hi.
How are you feeling?
I'm feeling good. Did you see what I put in chat?
Yes. I should add to that what you're saying. Me too. My body's been riddled with rheumatoid arthritis, right? Mm. And I had a kind of a flare up last week, okay? But it was mild, and I continue to persevere. Now, you know, I just continue looking at the Lord. But what I do for myself is I've been drinking a lot of green tea with aloe vera juice and MSM that has no fillers. MSM is methyl sulfate. It's a natural ingredient that's supposed to be good for the joints, as well as turmeric. And so I've just been kind of like ODing on it. But I tell you what, I feel so good. I really feel great.
That's awesome,
Carol.
Yeah. That is so
great.
It's wonderful.
It's like, wow, I just do. So I'm excited. I'm excited that all of this is happening right before we leave. Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, somebody share. Hey, I've been talking a lot, and I thank you so much for sharing what you shared. Shared Ilana's testimony there, or you know, mm-hmm. what the Holy Spirit gave her in 2012. Pat, that was awesome. But
Carol, dear, there's one more thing you can try for arthritis, which is very effective. If you can tolerate apple cider vinegar, you put it in with a tablespoon a day with apple cider or apple juice. It really tastes good, and it just does a job on arthritis like you can't believe. Apple cider vinegar.
I used to drink a tablespoon.
Okay, if you can tell, not everybody can.
Yeah. I got all these.
But that was one of the major cure-alls for arthritis.
You want to
get apple cider vinegar.
You want to use that Bragg's brand of raw apple cider vinegar. That thing,
yeah.
that'll heal almost everything on earth. That thing's pretty darn amazing.
Oh yeah, right. You got it. Thank you, Keith. That acid reflux, it'll stop that, everything.
Yep.
Okay. What about silver? What about silver?
I'll give you my what happened to me real quick. Remember, God works with each mm-hmm. of us individually on an individual basis regarding our healing. Some people, when I had lupus 11 years ago, he led me to a bunch of natural things, and then he healed me within 6 months. It was obviously supernatural, so I don't have the lupus in my blood or anything, and that doesn't happen. Once you have it, it's like cancer. It doesn't leave. But anyway.
Wow.
So, the cool thing is this is the end of the world now, and as everybody knows, it's been over 2 months where I've had this severe, I can't breathe, and I've never been diagnosed as an asthmatic. I've never been diagnosed as having asthma ever. In my early 20s, I went to the emergency room because I was swelling up, and they said I had allergic asthma from something in the air. So in my 20s, they gave me air, and then I never even used it. Okay, but basically what happened was, you guys know that they've been heavily spraying here in Northern Cali, and I'm just thinking, oh, it's the chemtrails. But you know how I am. I'm like, they can't touch me. I'm going to go out and play in them because I'm a child of the king and the elite can't hurt me. Well, for whatever reason, God allowed me to have this horrible thing where I couldn't breathe. So I went to the emergency room, as everybody knows, and they gave me a steroid to breathe in, and then they gave me an inhaler. Okay, they said, oh, it's some kind of bronchitis. You know, since you don't have a fever, it's probably not – it's a virus, so I'm not going to give you antibiotics. And they didn't really know. But it did give me temporary relief, and I could breathe every 3 hours if I used the inhaler.
Right.
And mm-hmm. I was just trusting the Lord. The Lord was giving me so much peace. He was just like, trust me, I'm in this. And I knew he was. But, I was hacking, coughing up a lot. All kinds of things were going on. And he healed me. What happened was last night I threatened God. I have a really good relationship with him, so I can talk to him like that, So I threatened him. I said, if you don't do this, I'm going to do this. Like, if you don't do this, I'm going to do this. I'm not going to tell you guys what I did, okay, because it's between me and him. But this is part of my healing story. So I said that before I went to bed. Can you guys still hear me?
Yeah.
God knows I'm like that when I give him ultimatums and when I do stuff like that.
Love it.
He knows that I do it all in love, but he knows how I
know.
Yeah, and obviously if he told me, don't threaten me, then I wouldn't do that. But it's all done in a real relationship. I encourage everyone to stay real with God. So I basically threatened him last night. I even told Jerry I threatened him. So I woke up, I went to bed and I woke up. I have not taken my inhaler since last night, and I've had to take that thing every 2 to 3 hours. It was actually going down to 2 hours, And then I had talked to my sister yesterday. We talked today about me going to the hospital tomorrow because I was down to 33 breaths, and we don't want to be caught not being able to breathe. Because I literally can't breathe after 2 or 3 hours. I literally cannot breathe, okay? It's like it's some
scary,
crazy thing going on. But the Lord was telling me not to. He was just like, I'm in this. I'm like, okay, I guess I'll just use this and go get another one or whatever, go back to the hospital. Anyway, long story short, you had to use it today, and I feel great today. I've also felt kind of weak and tired and not good overall, and I noticed it around noon. I'm like, what the heck? I feel wonderful. I was like, God, did
you? Isn't that great?
You did, didn't you? I said, my threat worked, because I did threaten him. I said, I'm not going to tell you guys what I said, but I said I gave him till Sunday. I said, this is what I'm doing if you don't, by Sunday, and I'm not going to say what I said, and then I woke up healed. Anywho, I just want to tell you guys, whatever ailment you're going through right now, I hope I've been able to inspire you a bit, because actually this is a first for me. When I was very sick with lupus and osteoarthritis and parasites 11 years ago, the Lord, I was sitting in my room binding the devil all the time, because we were missionaries, so we were traveling the globe, and I came home really sick. And we had to stop all the traveling, and I was binding the devil, and the Lord said, stop. It's not the devil. It's me. Stop. And I didn't do it anymore. He said, call so-and-so and get some organic information. And I called this woman who had been trying to talk to me when she saw we were traveling about stuff. He hooked me up with her. That's what he wanted to do. He said, out loud, he told me, I'm getting you ready for the long haul. Because he knew I was going to be here 11 more years. And the way I was at, you guys, I was dying. I couldn't use my right leg. I was limping. I was only in my 30s, and I had lupus. So anyway, long story short, he healed me with that within 6 months, and then I was back traveling the globe again for another year. We did it for 3 years after that whole thing. So I'm not used to being sick at all since then. I've just been, like, completely in amazing health. And as you know, before he fell on my son, I do centuries on my bike. I ride 100 miles with the bike club. It's really fun. I'm athletic. Well, when he fell on my son, I stopped everything. And I was kind of blaming myself when I couldn't breathe. I'm like, well, you know, I haven't been really eating very healthy, and maybe that's why I can't breathe. But I was like, no, because most people don't eat healthy, okay? And I was like an extreme health student. Right. And then I went to, I don't care, since I got rapture-centric. I just didn't care what I ate anymore. Anyway, long story short, I just wanted to share this because God, whatever anyone's dealing with right now in terms of healing, you have your own relationship with the Lord. He has his own prescription for you. Try to keep it personal. Maybe another person uses herbs. Maybe another person doesn't. It's all about what God's telling you to do. When I have this breathing thing go on, I know a whole bunch about herbs and vitamins because I sell them, and that's what God used to get me healed from lupus. But the Lord was like, no, I don't want you using any of that. And it didn't matter if I don't have the money to purchase my own stuff anyway that I sell. So I wasn't even, like, going to use it. But I knew a bunch of natural stuff I could use to probably help me breathe, but I don't have the funds. And he wasn't leading me. He was just, like, letting me know I'm in this. Trust me. So I was just taking this inhaler and carrying on and ignoring the stupid symptoms and just carrying on, you know, with a good attitude. But it sucked because I was caught. I'd hack up at night. I'd wake up choking, and it was going on for over 2 months now, guys. And today's my first day where I haven't had to use the inhaler. I have nothing. My lungs are clear. I feel great. And my son was like, Mom, you look pretty happy. I'm like, I know. I feel really good. And so I just wanted to give that little testimony. This is like fresh, hot off the press. I wasn't actually going to say anything until the Lord, because I was waiting another day. I'm like, is this a trick? Like, is this really? And the Lord was like, no, I healed you. Go ahead and share it in chat. So I shared it in chat, and then everybody said I should call in and share it. So God bless you guys. If you need healing right now, trust your daddy. Talk to him. Be real with him. And you might want to try threatening him. It worked. And the bride say, come.
Yes, come today,
please.
Right now.
Right now. Happy for you, honey.
I love you guys.
Love you too.
I love you too. Thanks, everybody. Keith, tell me again,
yes.
What was the name of that vinegar?
Oh, it's apple cider raw, apple cider vinegar.
The door wanting to get
apple cider.
And it's Bragg's brand, Braggs. B-R-A-G-G-S. You can get it at Whole Foods. It tastes real nasty, though.
Day,
put it in a little,
it should work.
Put it in a little shot glass, a tablespoon in a shot glass, some water, and then put it in a straw and suck it out.
Right. Don't try to cut corners. You have to get the Bragg's brand because it has live enzymes. If you try to cut corners and even get the Whole Foods brand, it won't work. You have to use the Bragg's because it's live, and it's a little bit more expensive. But if you go buy anything cheaper, trust me, I've done it. Like, I tried to get the Whole Foods brand, and you use Bragg's, like Keith said, B-R-A-G-G-S, apple cider vinegar.
Okay.
I'm telling you, that stuff will heal just about anything.
Heal everything.
Cool.
Yeah.
Cool, I'll
but drink
it
down with the straw, though, because it's hard on your teeth and stuff. So drink it down with the straw, a little bit of water, and then chase it back with some water. It tastes real nasty, though. You'll be breathing fire, but that's okay. It works, so just do it.
And just drink a bunch of water.
I won't have to drink it very, very much because
do one tablespoon up to three times a day.
One tablespoon,
up to three times a day.
Yeah.
See how it works for you. It'll work. It'll do stuff. You know, I'm so glad you got healed. Praise God. Huh?
Would silver be good for her? Colloidal silver?
Not with what she's got, no.
Okay,
she's
all right.
Yeah, I've tried.
Okay.
I've used colloidal silver for me.
Yeah, I know.
Okay.
Harold said that before. She tried that.
Is it me?
So we thank
you,
Lord, for Judy's healing. I want everyone to keep my healing in your prayers, too, because my health's been really, really, really bad lately. So just keep my health in your prayers. Yes. It's been really dry here, and California's been really dry and hot, and it's been just kind of, you know, my digestive tract has not been moving, and I'm having all kinds of problems with it. So I'm trying to get everything raw. So,
yeah.
So, don't forget about me.
Yeah, I just read today, in fact, that, you know, Malibu, where it's very expensive, where all the rich and famous live.
Yes.
You know, they've got no water. The lakes and that are right there.
People are stealing water.
And
so
they showed where the boats are. And
California says it's 35 years it's never been this dry, and because it's so dry, they said it's going to unleash a huge earthquake. So we can see we're ready to go.
Well, you've got fires too.
Yeah, we're ready.
Very bad fires.
We're ready any day now, any day, any moment. Hey, not any moment, any second. So.
And all that smoke can affect you too.
Yeah, it all works together. So we're excited. And I just wanted to share that with everybody, that the Lord just keeps pointing me to something big really happening very, very soon. And the only thing big that can happen is the rapture. Well, the triangulation rapture. Okay, so we're on the way out,
Hi, I was going to say amen. I heard from Father God that we're moments away from the rapture according to heaven. He said we're moments away. So however long a moment is, and everyone in heaven is so excited.
We're moments away
according to heaven's time. Moments. Whatever moments means in heaven's time, that's how close we are to the rapture. Moments.
Well, don't we just feel it now? I mean,
I know
that... you know, the last couple of days have been really tough on me, emotionally speaking, okay? It's just been tough on me, but not just me. I'm people I talk to, and both RCCers and not RCCers, you know, life is just really tough. And but the Holy Spirit just keeps pointing, he just keeps revealing something to me, and I'm not even asking him. It's like, I'm just telling him, I'm like mad at myself because I'm in this world, but I'm not of this world. But while I'm in this world, while we are in this world, we still have to operate in this world. Yeah, and you all know what I mean, Tana. You have to work and you have to do this and you have to pay bills.
Oh, do I ever know what you mean? Yeah, I'll do.
Right? We all have to do that. We all have to do that. So those distractions come. And then they come against us, and we start focusing on the things that we feel we're obligated to do, and how am I going to get this done, and how am I going to get that done, and all of a sudden you don't even for that moment you forget that the Lord is like on His way like right now, and then we have all the other people, so many people that are just so discouraged because we've been hearing this for how many months now, how many years, how many whatever, and we're still here. But I'm telling you, the Holy Spirit just keeps showing me something, and it's like it's like him tapping me on my shoulder, and yes, and he says, look at this, and I'm like, oh my goodness, and it all has to do with the Lord's return right now. So, you know, I know that he is coming, like right now. And there's moments when I feel like, really, you really are, really, how come I'm going through this? How come I'm going through that? Really, you say you're coming, but it, you know, and that when I'm looking at my problems, then I get, you know, I'm like, we're like Peter. When we're looking at our problems, our situations, we're like Peter, who was walking on the water towards Jesus, and then he looks down in the water, and he's like, how am I walking on the water? And he falls into the water instead of just walking on water to going to Jesus. And that's what sometimes happens to us. We're looking at Jesus. We're walking towards him, and then we look at our problems, and we sink. So we got to stop that.
Yeah,
right?
Carol. Yeah, Amen. Did you share earlier about the 144 thing that you came up with, your revelations about the 144 thing? Did you share that?
No, I didn't share on the, you know, on the 144K. You know, did you hear what I shared today about the moon?
I got something about the stars, but then the thing about the stars is I'm like, well, the dead in Christ rise first. So they're falling and then they're rising again. It's the dead in Christ.
Right. Okay. See, I'm telling you, he's just throwing stuff at me.
I thought the dead rise to go to their spirit bodies. I didn't think it was opposite of them falling to come back up to get their bodies.
The only reason, and I've known this, I've known this for as long as I've been studying the Word of God, that when the Lord comes, remember, he stops in the air. He descends, all right, and he stops in the air. Well, the spirits and souls have to return. They have to break the barrier, come into the soil, and or wherever their bodies were, even if they're cremated, and they pick up their bodies. And that's why people have, you know, those who have been looking for the signs of the rapture have felt, you know, well, there's going to be a great earthquake during the rapture because the dead in Christ are going to rise. Well, the way they're going to rise is because the spirits and souls come from heaven, enter into the atmosphere, into the earth, and they grab their bodies, and their bodies are instantly glorified, and that just causes a huge, massive, worldwide earthquake. You know, that's one thought, you know. And then,
I thought their bodies just raise up without, I thought their dead bodies
rise up
to meet their spirit.
No, they have to rise, you know, that's how I've understood it to be. The way they rise up is because their spirits and souls re-enter their bodies, and the moment they re-enter their bodies are glorified, and then they're taken up. We're all taken up. And those of us who are alive will immediately shed off this skin, and we get our glorified bodies. Now, our bodies are not going to experience death like they did. So they rise first, and while they're rising, we're being transformed into our glorified bodies, and we rise up. And this, because of the glory, see, it's the glory of God, that is shaking the world, because he's entered into the atmosphere through us, you know. Right now, you know how sometimes people really shake when the spirit falls on them very strongly, the anointing falls on them, and they're like, not even them, and their bodies are shaking, or, you know, they're in another realm. Well, imagine when the entire glory of God falls on us. So when I happened to, you know, I was reading that scripture, Matthew 24:9, where it says, about the moon, the sun, and the moon and the stars falling. Okay, and I, what came to me when I read it was that a couple of days ago, Savannah in chat had a dream, and in the dream, she saw the night sky, and she only saw one star, and it was just like in a split second. And Judy said, Savannah, that's you looking in the darkness. And I interpreted it as, oh, Savannah, that's, you know, that is the Lord. He's the bright and morning star, and he's shining his love and his light on you in the darkness, right? That's what I thought. But then the Holy Spirit just, like I said, the thought came to me that, oh, the stars are falling. You know, there's like meteorites, and I thought, that's not the stars. We've all thought, and maybe I'm wrong. I could be wrong. We're still here. So I'm not saying that I'm right. I'm just saying this is what came to me, all right? The stars are, the stars that fall are not the meteor. We've all thought that, and maybe it will be, but that's not what came to me. What came to me is the Lord is coming, and when he comes, the 10,000s of or millions, billions of the saints that are with him in heaven will return, and they're the ones that are falling. They're the shining stars. They're the shining stars that are falling. And they enter the earth, and they pick up their bodies. The bodies rise up, and they're glorified. And I got that revelation from when Judy said, Savannah, you are that star. And then and initially I didn't think anything of it until I was, I was watching Lisa Sparks, Believer Central, and she was talking about, the stars falling, and she says, in the meteors, it'll be a shower of meteors and blah, blah, blah. And suddenly I just got that revelation. It's not the real stars or meteor showers. It's the spirits and the souls of the saints entering in, coming down from God. And I said, wow. So that's what I'm getting. And then with the 144K, that was that was another revelation. So Revelation chapter 7. See, the Bible is not written in chronological order, like I had thought for years and years. No, I thought, well, this happens, and then this happens, and then this happens, and that happens. No, it doesn't quite, not in every book. It doesn't happen that way. So in Revelation chapter 7, okay, you have the 144K Jews from the 12 tribes of Israel, and they are filled with the seal of God. And I used to think that, in the beginning, when I first started studying the book of Revelation, I saw them in Revelation chapter 7. I saw the 144K in Revelation chapter 14. So I wondered, are they the same? Are they the same group? And then eventually I came to the conclusion, yeah, they were, that the 144K in chapter 14 are the raptured 144K from chapter 7.
But yeah, that's what I always thought too. Until you, what you're going to say now, that's what I always thought too. And I thought, wow, that's amazing.
Right. And so then, I'm rereading it and studying it, and it's like, wait a minute. We've been talking. See, if we had not been saying all this time that we're going to come back, I would have still continued in believing, I was so confused for a long time, because we keep saying we're going to, some of us are going to come back as part of the 144K. And I just had to swallow, you know, and just and say, okay, I'll be open-minded. You know, I'm fine. But then, as I'm studying, it, other people's works, and I realize, and they point out that there are two different armies, and Revelation chapter 7 is the 144 Jewish, the 144K of the Jewish tribes of Israel, but the 144K in Revelation 14 is us. When we get translated and raptured, we go up, we get our brand new gear, and then we come back and help the 144K, the Jews, because they didn't receive their glorified bodies. They just got sealed with the seal of God. But we're the ones that have our glorified bodies. See, I kind of thought they had glorified bodies. They were special, but I'm not sure. Maybe they are, but it says in Revelation 14 about the 144K that they are the ones who follow the Lamb wherever he goes, and the 144K that are the Jewish people, the from the Jewish tribe of Israel, they serve the Lord at his throne day and night. But we follow the Lamb. And see, we're the redeemed of the Lamb, by the Lamb of God. The Jews are not redeemed yet. See, and that just started to, it's just like, oh, okay. This was my revelation. This is, I don't know. I'm just saying, I'm not purposely trying to ask questions. Lord, what about this? What does this mean? What does that mean? All I know is that everything is starting to fall into place. And if this wasn't true, if this revelation is not really of God, then why are we saying that we're coming back as part of the 144K? Where did we get that idea from? That God gave that.
Yeah.
God gave that to us, right?
Yeah, and like you said, the 144 and the Revelation 14, because I read it too, and after reading it, I'm like, oh my gosh, she's right. That's, because, and then in the 14, it says the first fruits, which are the bride, you know, is the 144, so.
See? Yes, that's the other part to it, and it makes sense. We're the first fruits, you know, and we're like, I'm like, Lord, you are showing this to me. I'm just beside myself. I'm just beside myself because I have asked him. Believe me, I've been raptured Santa Clara for a long time, but I'm done asking. I'm just okay. When you want to come, you come. And he's like, don't think I'm not coming because I'm coming. And he just keeps giving me, especially lately. And this thing about the moon, all right? Look, I knew last year, okay, when I got re-rapture centric, because I had given up. You know, I threw in the towel. I told the Lord I had enough of looking for him. He'll come when he comes, period, end of story, okay? But in July when I had that dream, remember I had that dream, you know, away in the manger, and I just saw those words. And then I got to thinking about it, and, you know, me with my analytical mind, what does it mean, Lord? What does it mean? And then I realized, okay, that song pertains to the first coming of the Lord, so maybe the Holy Spirit wants me to revisit the second coming of the Lord, the rapture, you know, which is after the rapture, which means I better revisit the rapture scene again, okay? And right after that, message, that I came across, and I wasn't looking for it. I came across the teachings on the four blood moons, and this time, as I studied the teachings, I realized, I said, "Wow, Lord, this is really, really exciting, because now I had a real understanding." See, the first time I studied or heard about the four blood moons was in 2008. Mark Bilt happened to share, his discovery on the prophecy, or the patterns, rather, the patterns of the four blood moons. But it was 2008. I believed in 2007 and 2008. He was coming that very year. End of story. So I didn't really want to pay attention to 2014 and 2015. And my heart wasn't in it. But look where we are. I have no choice but to pay attention now. So I started, last year I started seeing I started revisiting the patterns of the four blood moons, and it's like, oh my goodness, we really, really are now in the very, very last days. Okay, and then from there I came across Rhody's videos and a bunch of other people's and Judy's, and so here we are. And so a few weeks ago or a month ago, when my dog insisted that I absolutely walk her at 9 o'clock at night when it's pitch dark, and she's never insisted. And from that day on, my dogs have never insisted on me walking them. They stopped insisting. But that night she insisted, "You walk me," and no matter what, I had to. So I did. I'm minding my own business. In fact, I had a backache, remember? I had my backache, and I'm walking her, so I'm more concentrating on, oh, Lord, my dog's pulling me, and my back is hurting, and my back is hurting, and my dog's pulling. And I look up, and across the, the long street, I look up, and I see the red blood moon on the stop sign. I didn't even react. In fact, I probably took my eyes off it and just looked at my dog, but the Holy Spirit had lifted my head up and said, "Look at the sign again," and I'm looking at it, and this time, I'm not making this up, guys. It was a dark red circle, and as I'm looking at it, it slowly, and I mean slowly, started turning back into its octagonal shape, and the color began to change into the red stop sign shape, and then one letter at a time started to appear. Not the entire word stop. One letter at a time. And I looked at it, and I just said, "Oh, look at that." And I didn't even think after, I didn't jump or anything. I just like, well, isn't that interesting? And then I came back, and I shared it with you guys, and then I thought, wait a minute. Holy Spirit, you showed me something. So see, there was that sign of the moon. And then from that point on, he just keeps showing me something regarding the moon. So something's going on with the moon. And on Rosh Hashanah, it's the new moon. So the moon is going, the new moon is darkened, okay? The two witnesses in Israel determine when Rosh Hashanah begins by looking for that sliver of light on the new moon, because the new moon is a dark moon. You can't see it. And then as soon as the sliver shows up, now they know it's the new moon. And that's why a lot of Bible teachers who have shared that when Jesus said to the disciples, after they asked him, when are these things going to come, and he says to them, "Well, no man knows the day or the hour, but my Father in heaven only." And the only feast, but the seven feasts of the Lord, that the Jews do not know when it begins is Rosh Hashanah, the Feast of Trumpets. And that's because they have to wait for it to see the sliver of the new moon. And if it's raining or if it's overcast, they have to wait until the sky clears up and they're able to see that sliver of light. That's when, and they, so in a way, the Jews, the disciples, knew what the Lord was telling them. Hey, he was hinting to them, the day or the hour that no man knows of the feast, and all the feasts, the four feasts have already been fulfilled. There's three feasts that have not been fulfilled. Jesus died on Passover. Okay? And the other feast, and I'm not going to go into the feast of the Lord right now, but there's seven feasts. The first four feasts have already been fulfilled. The last three feasts that need to be fulfilled are Feast of Trumpets, Feast of Atonement, which is Yom Kippur, and then the Feast of Tabernacles. And Feast of Tabernacles is probably the Millennial Kingdom. That's when that will and they're all for the Jews. Those are really all for the Jews. But, you know, so I think between now and what that's what we're saying, between now and Rosh Hashanah, the translation could very, very well happen, because it could very well be that the rapture happened on Rosh Hashanah and we go before then. And see, the other aspect that correlates, the other scriptures that correlate to Feast of Trumpets is 1 Thessalonians 4:16-17, where it says the Lord descends with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with a trumpet of God. Feast of Trumpets. So that's why a lot of people believe that Rosh Hashanah is the day of the rapture, whether it's this year or not. But for years, I've been looking for the Lord to return on Feast of Trumpets, and now it don't matter. It's like now. Now's the time. Come now. Are you all there?
Amen. That's awesome. Yeah.
So I'm on a roll, you know. I've been on a roll, so I don't know.
Oh, good.
And when this happens to me, trust me, it's the Holy Spirit. It ain't me. It's just him that just takes over. And he wanted you all to know this. So there's a reason.
Amen. Amen.
Very cool.
Hang in there. It's exciting times.
Yeah.
We're here now.
Well,
exciting
not for long.
That we're here now. Not for long, though.
Yeah, and it's exciting because we're going to
very
be,
important word, we're, very important sentence, not for long.
not for long, for sure.
Cats, yeah.
Yep.
Oh.
Okay, guys, well, anything else you guys want to ask or share?
Just God bless you all, love you, and see you in the air. Soon.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Are you still there, Tana?
Yep, I'm here, yes. I'm going to be buying a hot dog at Costco any minute.
Hey.
Love you guys.
Love you too. Love you, everybody.
Okay, yeah, love you, and we'll see you in the air very, very soon.
Okay.
Amen.
Amen.
Okay.
All
right.
Okay, good night, guys.
Hopefully it'll be tonight.
Amen.
Be tonight. Okay.
Amen.
All right, love you guys.
Okay, love you.
All right.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening.
Bye. Oh, of course.